When you think about your final years of school, how important was the support you needed from your family? A quiet place to study, a kind word, or just a night off the dishes, or even the basics, food, shelter, books. But many children who grow up in out-of-home care can't necessarily take those things for granted. And in Australia, when support for out-of-home care ends rather abruptly at the age of 18, very few of those kids go on to higher education, less than 3%. There are attempts afoot, though, to change that. And if you've been in out-of-home care at some point in your childhood, did that affect your future opportunities? Send us a message on our Facebook page. Nicola Berry is studying a Bachelor of Human Services and Masters in Social Work at La Trobe, and Danny Hoekstra is studying plumbing at Swinburne TAFE, and they're both care leavers. Welcome, Danny and Nicola.
Hi, how are you going?
Hi, thanks for having
us. Thank you for coming in. Nicola, can you tell me what life was like for you growing up, particularly around studying?
So studying was pretty difficult for me. I didn't have that support at home, which is so important to encourage you to do your best. And it wasn't really there as much from teachers either, who probably weren't aware of my situation and weren't aware that I needed that extra encouragement.
So were they discouraging, or they just hadn't realised that you might need an extra boost?
It was not so much discouraging, more just not being aware of it.
And what did you think about the idea of uni when you were growing up? Did it feature on your landscape?
Absolutely not. Uni was not something I was considering, particularly from my area, which was quite a low socioeconomic area. Not many people went on to university, and those who did were people who already come from privileged families.
So now you're on the path to being a social worker. What happened in between?
So in between, I worked for about 5 years. I travelled a lot. I met some really great people who sort of inspired me to go on to study, who made it seem like it was actually something that was achievable for a regular person.
So conversations with people helped shift things for you?
So much so. Like, just getting to know someone with a similar story and just the demystification of the whole higher education system.
So how important was it to find someone, as you said, with a similar story to say, they like me, I could do that too?
Without it, I wouldn't be at university. I had a carer who was quite instrumental, who was the first person I knew who had a degree, actually. So she was amazing, and I'm forever thankful for her. And I've also got some really great friends who introduced education to me as something that could be really positive.
And accessible.
And accessible.
And Danny, I could see you nodding along to what Nicola was saying. Yeah. What was it like for you growing up?
Same sort of thing, I guess. Like, having sort of hardship in my own personal life makes it really hard to concentrate on, like, education and commitments, you know, to bettering my own life. So, I guess I can relate to, like, not having that support from teachers in the school, especially from people that don't really understand or don't know. But hearing about other people's successes sort of drove me to the realisation that I could be that as well. So, that was a massive driver,
And you went into out-of-home care at 13, when most kids are thinking about things other than school a lot of the time anyway, but obviously you've got this massive focus on what is happening. When did things start to shift for you?
Not until probably a couple of years after leaving care. I mean, it wasn't on my radar at all. Growing up, you sort of come to realise, you know, you do have a limited time, so you might want to do something with the time you've got. So, yeah.
And now it's plumbing. How did you get into that career path?
There was some sort of appeal to construction work, I guess. Building with my own hands and, you know, making stuff. So I guess,
But it's a long way between thinking, I might like to build something one day, and actually studying plumbing. Can you tell us, can you break it down for us a bit? How did you end up here?
I guess it was basically, I was on the dole, so Centrelink sort of were making me do something to get my payments. So I participated in a tri-trade program at Swinburne and, found I liked it more than I thought I did, so, yeah.
Do you know what? That's how I got here too. I was on the Work for the Dole program and I ended up at a community news and current affairs provider, and I still pinch myself every day. Oh my God, how did I get here?
So
what do you hope to do in the future, Denny? Plumbing, obviously pretty exciting right now. Do you want to do something else later on?
I would definitely like to go and do like hydraulic engineering at uni. So, you know, yeah, take it a step further and... Yeah.
It's exciting to have something kind of glittering in the future, isn't it? Maybe one day.
Yeah.
Nicola, 40% of the general population goes on to higher education, but only about 1% to 3% of care leavers. So that's uni, TAFE, vocational training of any kind. Were you surprised when you learnt that?
I was very surprised to have the statistics laid out in actual figures. But from personal experience, I wouldn't know any other care leavers who have gone on to university. I know some who have gone on to TAFE, but the continuation rate isn't particularly great either. It's a really sad statistic, though, because there's so much potential there.
And how much do you think it's about that issue of low expectations? You know, I couldn't do that. I don't know if that's for me. And how much is it about really concrete barriers? You know, I haven't had educational support. I don't have any money, those kinds of things.
I think that's very much dependent upon the personal situation of the person experiencing the out-of-home care system. But I think that low expectations are something that is across the board for every care leaver or care and I think that the systematic barriers are there as well. With those, though, it's a lot that we could do to change, in particular, like supporting the mental health system would be a really great step in the right direction.
In terms of helping parents to keep kids at home or helping kids or both?
Both, absolutely. And even if they're not at home, like getting that additional support is particularly important with a trauma background.
Now, while you're studying at La Trobe, you're also working for a program called Raising Expectations. So your expectations have gone through the roof, obviously, in the last few years. And La Trobe runs that with Federation University in Victoria, and it's aiming to increase the number of care leavers going on to higher ed. How does it work?
So we've got a lot of different programs going on at the moment. We're addressing an early intervention program in schools to speak with people who might be at risk or perhaps from a disadvantaged sort of area. We're having educational days for carers and carees, such as one we hosted at Bendigo La Trobe campus a few months ago.
In regional Victoria?
Yeah, it was really successful. And we're also doing some specific care leaver bursaries to make it a little bit more financially accessible.
That's a really interesting thing, isn't it? Because some of the universities and institutions have changed their system so that you can apply for a specific category of funding as a care leaver.
Yeah.
Is that a problem for some care leavers, having to kind of self-identify? Is there still a stigma that people might want to not do that?
I think that there is still a stigma a little bit, but I think it's lessening as it's becoming a little bit more socially acceptable. We're seeing more sort of non-traditional families in media, and I think that really helps.
What do you think, Denny? Is it something that you don't want to talk about to people who don't know you already?
I'm definitely open to talk about it, but I guess there would definitely be people that aren't, I guess, more people with, more trauma type stuff, but... Yeah, I guess that people are talking about it more. So, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, more diversity across the board on the telly and the radio. That's a pretty good thing. So I understand too, Nicola, that a lot of care leavers don't actually apply for financial support that might help them get through a course of study. Do you know why that is?
Well, I can only speak for myself personally, and I 100% know that that's because every time I would look at that, I'd be like, but there's someone who needs it more than I do. And I didn't really realise that it's not up to me to make that call. It's up to the people who are deciding who gives out that scholarship, and putting your name forward is the best way to just be in with a chance.
Now, the Raising Expectations program has been building up connections, as you said, with flexible learning schools. What does that mean, and what impact is that having on enrolment numbers?
So we've had up to, I think we've got 200 care leaver students at the moment at La Trobe and Fed Uni, so it's great. But
Nicola just did a little kind of happy fist pump.
In terms of what we're doing with the flexible learning school, so that can be like an engagement program where they might come onto campus and see what life at uni can be like, looking at different accommodation options, different study options, and just getting a bit of a taste for it, because a lot of these children will be first in family and they won't know what life will be like.
And, or even what a university or a TAFE college looks like on the ground.
Oh, absolutely.
So, Danny, what was it like for you? What were the things that helped you stay in study as opposed to just going, steering you towards it and going, yep, there you are, off you go?
Well, just firstly, I guess, like, just having the access to the information that these options are available is key, because I feel like that's letting the system down a lot too, just this information isn't being passed on. But for me personally, staying at school was, I guess, the biggest factor was probably like a goal and just like some sort of stability. So I could, like a constant in my life, which helped. But and making connections at school too is very important. So just, just your support group. You know,
and so, again, it comes down to people.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it helpful to have someone who kind of touches base with you from time to time? Does that happen through part of the program?
I have a social worker at school that knows my story, and I catch up with her. I enjoy our time. So, yeah, it is important.
It's good not to have to tell the story over and over again,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nicola, what would you like to see in the future from the program, do you think? I mean, obviously, more people.
Ideally, I'd like to see, it's going to sound a little bit Miss America, but I'd like to see everyone believing that they can go on to reach their goals, and whether or not that's university or TAFE or something else, if it's employment, as long as they believe they can actually get something out of it. I think that's all I really want to do at the end of the day.
And I guess there might be some people listening who are saying, well, you know, how big a deal really is it if you move out of your home and into someone else's home and you're in care? Can you tell us some of the ways that people who've grown up in traditional families might take for granted that people in care might miss out on when it comes to kind of transitioning from teenage years to being able to take your place in the adult world?
Oh my goodness, those are so many things. I know, particularly moving into a share house would be, oh, we need a washing machine, and someone would be like, oh, it's fine, my parents will just drop it off. But if you're a care student, you've got no parents, you've got no vehicle, you've got no funds for that washing machine, and you've just got none of those supports there. It's just you on your own, which can be really daunting, particularly when the living care age is still 18.
And I think you've talked in the past about just driving, learning to drive.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get my driver's license. I'm 25 and I'm still on my learners because I don't have someone to take me supervised driving, which is a little bit sad.
That's not sad at all. I'm high-fiving you for living it till quite late in your 20s to get your driver's license. Me too. Nicola, what would you like to do in the future personally?
So first, I just want to pass my course, get a great degree. And then from there, I'd like to go into doing youth work, either with out-of-home care or working with at-risk LGBT youth. And from there, going into policy change eventually.
I look forward to chatting to you both in the future when you've both attained those goals. Thanks so much for coming on to Life Matters today and chatting with us today.
Thanks so much for having us.
We were just chatting to Nicola Berry, who's studying a Bachelor in Human Services and a Master's in Social Work at La Trobe. Does a bit of work on the side as well. She's a La Trobe staff member assisting the Raising Expectations project. And Danny Hoekstra, who's an apprentice plumber at Swinburne TAFE and future hydraulic engineer. You're listening to Life Matters here on RN.